Acts chapter 3,
verse 19. Praise the Lord. You know, there's something about growing in the knowledge of the Word. Years ago, we used to hold the meeting, some 22 years, I think. We called it Rivers of Joy. And we said Times of Refreshing. And when we said Times of Refreshing, we were referring then to the meeting being the refreshing. But as time went on, that's a while back, we've grown in knowledge. And so our explanation of that text has grown. Hallelujah. A minister must be ready to grow. You have to grow. Sometimes we celebrate people for being consistent. Sometimes it's not a virtue to be consistent, especially when you are consistently stubborn on nonsense. You know, that is not a virtue anymore. That is being obstinate. I like that man. Oh, he has always been saying the same thing. Maybe he's not growing. So he really says the same thing, and he's not growing. But we've adjusted the meaning of times of refreshing. Because we used to call it times of refreshing, we're just refreshed in the gathering. We didn't know that we were wrong, ignorantly, but sincerely. Because the difference between a false teacher and an ignorant one is that a false teacher is deliberate. Not everybody who says the wrong things are false teachers. It's just ignorance. But when someone deliberately perpetrates error, then he's no longer just sincere. He's now a false teacher. We're going to have a book out in the next 1 month or thereabout on the life of honor. And you're going to see that addressed in there very well. Praise the Lord. All right, now Acts 3:19. Here is Peter. He's preaching. Don't forget that this was after he had the miracle with John at the beautiful gate. It's always important to notice that there will be two or three apostles, sometimes four, on the scene. Only one person will speak. It'll be today, everybody will be talking, trying to show themselves. Okay, are you done? Let me say my own, you know. You know, just one person spoke. John was on the scene. He was also an apostle. He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years, just like Peter. But only Peter got to speak. Just like the day of Pentecost, all the 12 were there. But only one person spoke. Just like just Acts 4, again, when Peter and John were there, you know, Peter spoke. And John. Now, look at Acts 3. In verse 19, he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now, this is arguably the second sermon in the book of Acts. The very second sermon in the book of Acts. What do we mean by, or what did Peter mean by times of refreshing? Because we have no right to say something else besides what he has said. Am I making sense here? Alright, good. So, what did he mean? Let's look at the very first sermon. Very first sermon. It's in Acts 2. Remember that? On the day of Pentecost, when the Bible says in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and they were all in one place, one accord. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them, verse 3, cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And the Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, because of the things that happened, people didn't know what was happening, so they began to ask questions and have queries and interrogations. And then Peter raised his voice, and then he spoke in verse 14 and 15. Before we go in there, before we go into the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is like the practical class of the epistles. It's like the things we see taught in the epistles, we see them acted largely in the book of Acts, though with some spiritual growth in process, but you discover that they were acted in the book of Acts. Now, before these sermons, that is before the sermon in Acts 2:14 to verse 35 and 36 by Peter, the one we just mentioned earlier in Acts 3, Jesus had left his disciples with an instruction. You see that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, turn there quickly. We're going to open to many scriptures tonight. Matthew 28, chapter 16. That's 16, chapter 19. Now, Jesus in verse 19 says, in 18 first of all, says, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. This was upon his resurrection. Every time you see a statement made in the scriptures, always know the event that preceded it. All authority is given me in heaven and earth. He didn't say that before he died. He's saying this for the first time. All authority is given me. In other words, by saying he's given me, he uses a verb. Has been given to me. It qualifies it. That means it's just happened. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth, on the earth. Then in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which is a very controversial part of it, so we can take that out. But teaching all nations, then it says in verse 20, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you, lo, I am with you until the end of the age. Now, that's Matthew's account. We're going to take each one together. Are you ready? Are you ready, church? In Mark 16, in verse 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Now, don't forget, just like Matthew 28, in Matthew 28, verse 18, he had just rebuked them for not believing the testimony that he had been raised from the dead. In Mark 16:14, the same thing. So everything is, it follows each other. Now in Luke 24, verse 47, I'm going to suspend that a little bit and get back to it. It says thus, repentance and remission of sins will be preached or should be preached in his name in all, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So, three things. Now, in John 20, verse 23. John 20, verse 23. Pay very good attention here. John 20, verse 23. He says, and whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So, we have four accounts of the same thing. Four accounts. Now, let's examine those words one by one. Before we go to Acts. Because obviously, Peter was carrying out Jesus' instructions. Are you out there? All right, very good. In Matthew, he says, go and teach all nations. Many versions have the word make disciples. Who has make disciples? Your version has Matthew 28, verse 19. Who has make disciples? Well, let me see your hand. Okay, so you are all King's James. King's James, not King James. King's, okay, King James's, you know. Just like I am. Okay, the word make it, the word teaching in verse 19 is a different term. It is the word to become. There's a qualifying word there. To become a student. That is, the gospel, the focus of the gospel is to make men students. The focus of the gospel is to make men students. Now, it's the word, I'm going to spell it for you. It's a Greek word. Matheteo. M-A-T-H, where you have Max. M-A-T-H-E. M-A-T-H-E. T-E-U-O. Now, sometimes some people are, they freak out the moment you mention Greek words and all that. And some guys even make fun of it. You know, in ministry, you must be ready to be laughed at. It's no big deal. But, you know, oftentimes people criticize what they don't know. Now, the English language where your Bible is written is barely 1,000 years. Which means that when those things were said, they were not said in English. And many times, in translations, some things are lost in the way they are put because of language. So oftentimes we revert back to those words not to have a mighty revelation. It's just to be able to explain better. And that's all it is. Now, so in that verse 19, when it says make disciples, is the word to make people learn. That is, we have a duty to turn people into students of Christ. Or better still, into students of what Christ has just done. Because what he has just done now, what's the event that just happened before he gave this instruction? What's the event? He just rose from the dead. So in other words, he's telling us to make people students of the resurrection. That means there are things to learn of the resurrection. It's not just, hey, Jesus rose again, Jesus rose again, Jesus, just one sentence. No, it's a sentence that has so much inside. Hallelujah. Yeah, so much. So he says, make people to learn. Make them disciples. You see that term used in Matthew 13:52 by Matthew. Matthew 27:52. In those two instances, it's used for people how they became students. They became students. They started to learn. So the gospel should be learned. Say the gospel should be learned. Okay. So again in Acts 14:21. We're going to see a couple of all that tomorrow, I believe. Acts 14:21. So the first thing he tells them, he says they must teach people. Right? They must make people students. So, when you go out in evangelism, part of your work is to make people what? Students. You are enrolling them to a school of the resurrection of Christ. Now, in Mark 16, he says, go into all the world and preach. The word preach there is the word keruso. K-E-R-U-S-S-O. Keruso means, in the Greek again, it means to proclaim something you saw or something you heard. Something you were told. To proclaim something you saw or you heard. Keruso can never mean to express your feelings. So, keruso also is not a reaction. For example, when some of us go in evangelism, not here, I believe, and you get somewhere, and you see someone doing something that is wrong, societally wrong, you have a temptation to say, you see this thing that you are doing, this thing that you are doing. You see someone, maybe the guy is in a bar, and he's drinking, instead of supposed to say, you see this thing, if you die like this, that's the end. You know, we used to tell people that the ladies who used to make their hair, you say, when you go under the dryer, you are practicing hellfire. That's evangelism. No, you are not doing evangelism, you are reacting. Keruso means it has nothing to do with the person. Something you heard, something you saw, you were told. So, go and preach the gospel to every creature. To proclaim. That means if you are going to preach to every creature, that means the message is the same for every creature. Right? Morally upright. Morally downright. societally nice? No, yes, everybody says the same thing. So if you go to, if you see someone who had never in her life, she has never, ever, at best, even kissed herself, she's a virgin. Virgin, spirit, soul, and body. Which is good. Amen. Christianity is not morality, neither is Christianity immorality. Can I have an amen? So, you see someone like that hasn't done anything in the society? Wrong. You see somebody else who is a prostitute. You know what a prostitute is? Good. A prostitute. The Greek word is a prostitute. Right. So, you see a prostitute and you have two people. If you preach something different to two of them, one of them didn't hear the gospel. Very likely, none heard it. Your job is to tell them about Jesus. That's what you do. Jerusalem. Now, the third time, Luke 24. I said I was going to suspend Luke for now because Luke is critical for me. Why is Luke critical for me? Luke is the one who wrote Acts 3:19. So I want to bring them together in the same bag. The last one is John 20:23. Whosoever sins you remits are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain are retained unto them. Again, the focus is on sin. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were all relating to the same event. That means the first thing, the gospel must be believed. It's a message of faith. One, preach the gospel. It must be believed. It's a message of faith. Two, the gospel is a doctrine. It must be taught. People must learn it. It must be taught. People must learn it. Two. Three, the gospel, or I've left Luke out, must be preached as well. But we'll see that shortly. Then the fourth one, it says, whosoever sins are remitted, you remit, I remitted them, whosoever sins you retain. That means the gospel will not work without us. That is, the moment a man's sins are retained, in other words, if a man disbelieves you, if a man does not hear your testimony of Christ, he cannot be saved. That means that you, the way you render the gospel is important to the eternities of men. If you add your story to it, if you try to embellish it, you try to polish it, you try to put something else beside it, you will not have the gospel. It must never be about you. So, the gospel must be preached, you believe, it must be taught, it's a doctrine, it's a word of faith, it's a message of faith. It must be believed. That is, it's not something that a man can see easily. It's not something that he will say, oh, I feel it when he has said, as you are saying, I began to feel it. No, it has to be believed. So, it's a message of faith. It has to be taught. It's a doctrine. Praise the Lord. And it depends on what we say, how we say it. So, pay attention now. So, in Acts 2, the very first time the gospel was preached by the apostles. Or the first time recorded that they preached the gospel. What happened was, on the day of Pentecost, the church was full of the Spirit. In verse 4, we're going to see that tomorrow, a bit of that tomorrow. So, there were questions. And Peter quoted the book of Joel, which was the promise of the outpouring of the Spirit. And when he was done, pay attention to something now. He's quoting Joel. Then he says something very vital. Acts 2, I want you to see verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Then he says, in the last days, saith God, it shall come to pass, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now just jump those verses and go to verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? So he's preaching the message of what? Of what? Salvation. He takes the message of salvation from Joel. Then he now begins to explain who the Lord is.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Then he now tells them exactly what we had said earlier. The events Jesus, because if he stops at that, that means he is not carrying out what we just read in Matthew 28, Mark 16, John 20, and Luke 24. He now begins to tell them about Christ. Who is that Lord? Then he begins to tell them. You can just take that from verse 22 down to verse 36. Notice his focus. His focus in verse 32. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all, talking about the apostles, we all are witnesses. Then he says in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, but what? Lord and Christ. Now, mark something quickly. As he said that, he's talking to them from the scriptures. He quoted Joel, then he quoted David copiously, which is the Old Testament. Now, as he finished speaking, look at verse 37. Then they asked him, men and brethren, what shall we do? They didn't say, what have we done? No. What shall we do? Now, because of our mindset on a particular word I want to focus on tonight and tomorrow morning, he says, repent. Now, you and I know that we oftentimes use repentance for someone who has done something wrong. You say, look at your life. Look at you. You have wasted your life. I don't want to mention the things again, but you know what I'm talking about. You better repent. You know, do you know that throughout the sermon, Peter did not tell them they did anything wrong. He didn't say, before I continue, you, Baba John, I met you at the palm wine drinkers joint. Baba John now looks like this. You say, wait, Jeanette, are you not the one following that boy all over the place? Said, Jeanette says, sorry. So, if he had said that, and then they said, what shall we do? He said, are you still asking me? So, if he says all that, and he doesn't mention the individual sins, then he says, repent. That shows you repentance is not a conduct. Hallelujah. Repentance is not a conduct. Repentance comes before the conduct. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Repent. For the remission of sins. Pay attention to something. We're going to see it. So, what should we do? He says, repent. Why did he say repent? Because he had just taken them through the scriptures. So, he had just shed light on the scriptures. He had put light on the scriptures for them. He had put their minds on facts that it escapes in the scriptures. He says, repent. And every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now notice something you mustn't lose out here. He said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't talking water baptism at that point. The remission of sins. Repent for the remission of sins. Now, if he's saying change of conduct,
He cannot say change of conduct, then say remission of sins. They are exact opposites. Because change of conduct means I don't have sins again to be forgiven. Remission of sins means the sin is there. Someone has taken it away. Are you following this tonight? So, by using repent, that means there is an information that is coming to them. He preaches Christ to them. Then he preaches Christ from the scriptures. Then he says, repent. Pay attention there. He had spoken from David. He has spoken from Joel. Then he says, repent. Now, go to Acts 3. Are you learning something tonight? Look at Acts 3. The same speaker, the same sermon, a different audience. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that all your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, take your Bible and do a simple observation. A simple observation. Look at Acts 2, verse 36 and verse 35 and 36. And look at Acts 3, verse 17 and 18. I said look at verse 36, 35 and 36. Then Acts 3, 17 and 18. The statement that preceded the statement, repent. What do you see is common? Who can tell me? What's common in the two things? Acts 2, verse 35 and 36. Acts 3, verse 17 and 18. What is common? Tell me, sir? Huh? He just spoke about the sufferings of Christ. No, more vitally. He just pointed out that Jesus has been what? Raised from the dead. That's the first thing you should notice. The second thing you should notice is that he was proving it from where? Very, very good. He was proving that event from where? The scriptures. So, he says, repent. Now, the word repent is the word metanoheo, M-E-T-A, which means to change or turn around, M-E-T-A. M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O, M-E-T-A-N-O-E-O. It means, the word noheo means mindset or thinking. It's not conduct like anatrophes, no. It's the word thinking or mindset. A way you were seeing things. So, by saying repent, metanoheo, it means change your mindset. Pay attention now. Change your mindset. Now, change your mindset is not about yourself. No, because he didn't talk about them before he said repent. He was talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Are you following this? Alright. We're going to learn some Bible in Believers Convention. Alright. Look at Luke 24. I thought I was going to leave out Luke. I'm getting back there now. Luke 24. Hallelujah. So before you go out and say, repent! You're in the house. I know you. You are just angry. Luke 24, verse 25. Now, Jesus met his own disciples. Don't forget that they had a conversation from verse 19.
where he said to them, what are the things you're talking about? Ah, you don't know what we're talking about? Don't you know about Jesus Christ? Ah, this is Jesus. This is not Jesus Christ. Jesus, a mighty prophet, a great man, mighty wonders. He's a great man of God. But he was killed. And we have been hoping that he would really want to redeem Israel. But see what has happened. This is Jews are bad people, you know. And they were complaining. Then he told them in verse 25, he said, oh fools. That means you might be foolish before you repent. Both of them have to do with your thinking. Oh fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Now, he didn't call them fools because of academics. He didn't call them fools because of societal values. He called them fools because of the scriptures. Oh, fools. Slow of heart. That is, slow of understanding. To believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. A man can be very smart in natural things and very foolish with the scriptures. So don't be angry. They say, that's very foolish. You say, eh? Do you know who is me? Sorry, do you know who I am? Say, I have PhD, OD, LLD, RIP, I have all those things. How would you tell me I'm foolish? Sir, sorry, sir. I'm talking about the scriptures. You are actually foolish. When it was done, he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32 says, did our hearts not burn when he opened to us? Now, when he says he opened to us, you don't use that word, diagnogio, which is to open something that has been blocked. That means the scriptures was blocked to them. They said that to assuage their feelings. Because it's not the scriptures that was blocked. It is their minds. There's nothing wrong with the scriptures. It's your mind that was blocked. So he had to open it. So by the time he met his own disciples, the other ones in the room, and then he appeared to them and he says, touch me. A spirit has no flesh and bone. You'll have thought they'll say, ah, no, master, don't worry. We know it is you. They actually say, hey, master, you're welcome. You know, they start. He says, master, oh, bless the Lord, master. You know, even after saying that, some still touch him and went back, that things still happen. They have been watching African movie magic, see? That's how you turn to a tortoise. So, he said, do you have food? He said, master, we have. He said, bring it. He said, ah, don't worry, master, it's you now. They brought it. Emoji, prove it. Jesus was not eating it. And they were watching him. No, you would have thought that's sufficient. Because some people believe that experiences, revelation is so high. See, that brother, as he was coming to church, he saw eight angels. Eight. As the angels were leaving him, he now saw Jesus. As he finished seeing Jesus, he just saw Holy Ghost. As he finished seeing Holy Ghost, as he went to see the Father said, ah, if you see me, that's see finish. I said, no, don't let do see finish. You go. I mean, Jesus haven't appeared to them. They are touching me, have eating. I said, yes. Are you guys getting the point now? I said, we are getting the point. So you go into all the world and preach what? Are you going to take selfie? Say, Jesus, now you know. He's the one. So they will now go into all the world with pictures. See, he's alive again.
That's not a message of faith. When he was done proving that to them, that was not faith. That wasn't faith. If he had done that, it would be impossible for salvation to be by the gospel. So what did he do? The Bible says in verse 44, thus it is written, and thus it is fulfilled. He says, which were written in the law of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets concerning me. That indeed Christ must suffer, and then be raised from the dead the third day. So he said, this is the summation of the prophets. He took them through the scriptures in verse 46. But 45 now says, that he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Now, there are two words used in there. The word opened is the same word we mentioned in verse 32. He opened their understanding. That means their understanding was sealed. It was blocked like this. So he broke it up that they might understand. So the word, the first, he opened their understanding, is the word I mentioned earlier, nous, N-O-U-S, used in repentance. What did I call it again? Mindset. Can you remember that? Mindset. So he opened their mindsets that they might. The second word there is the word suinemi. S-U-I-N-E-M-I. It means to put things together. So, by the time he opened their minds, they were able to put Malachi with Leviticus, put it with Psalms, put it with Isaiah, Zephaniah. Oh my God. And they saw it. Oh, the same thread went through the Bible. How Christ must indeed suffer and be raised from the dead. So they saw it. Because if they had not seen it, they couldn't have been the ones to preach it. Seeing Jesus was not enough to be a gospel. They had to see the message of faith. It came from the mouth of the prophets as a message of faith. It can only be preached as a message of faith. Can I have an amen in the house? So he now said to them, by the time he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Was there a change of mindset? Was there a change of mindset? Was there a change of mindset? Talk to the church. Was there a change of mindset? That means they saw the truth of the scriptures for the first time. And then he said to them, verse 47, repentance. What's repentance again? A change of mindset. Is it a change of mindset about your behavior or a change of mindset about Christ from the scriptures? Say, therefore, repentance, which is the remission of sins, will be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Are you there? So, repentance is a message of faith. You repent to believe. You don't repent to adjust your ways. No, that will come. But you repent to believe. As he showed them that Christ had been promised in the Holy Scriptures to be raised, and then he showed them that he was a liar. What should we do? Change your mind. Hallelujah. Repent. Change your mindset. Pay attention now. So when you hear repent, is a message of faith. Repent has to do with an information. Repent is not about a conduct. It's about an information. So everywhere you see repent, is a repentance towards Christ's work. The repentance is about Christ's work. Repent.
and see his work for you. Repent. Do you notice that when repentance is mentioned by the apostles and by Jesus here, when repentance is mentioned, what happens is that the repentant heart receives. So you repent to receive. We'll see that shortly. You repent to receive. Hallelujah. So the gospel is a message of repentance. It's a message of faith. It's a message of repentance. So go back to Acts 3:19. Are you following me here? Come on guys, are you following this here? Look at Acts 3:19. Repent. Now, repent about what? Come on. Repent about what? About what Christ has done. Come on. Is that right? Repent about what has happened to Jesus. Repent. Then he says, and be converted. Now, many times when you have the word and means, this is what it means. Right? When you say, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same person. Okay? When you say, accept our Lord and Savior, is the same person. Our Lord that is the Savior. Right? When you say, except a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. John 3:5. It means, except a man is born of water, which refers to the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. When you say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweets, oh, come on, the fellowship. So the ecclesiastical fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God. That is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing. Rest and abide with us forevermore. Say to your neighbor, say, surely, surely. One statement is a promise, the other one is fulfilled. You put them together in a prayer. Surely, surely. Goodness and mercy follow me. And the best of the Father of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say to the righteous, he shall be well with you. An incantation. So he says, and be converted. The word there is epistrepho. That means turn around. Turn around. And be converted. Now, when you say turn around, that means if you're looking somewhere, the word epistrepho has to do with direction. If you're looking somewhere, let me use someone as an example. Pastor Jake, you come. So, you're looking like this. That means he's waiting for Christ to take them away from Pilate and Rome. That's what the Jews were doing. So, I'm showing him that Christ is risen. Alright? Then I say, repent. Change your mind, brother. Change your mind. And be turned here. So, the word be converted must be towards something. We'll see that. Thank you. Be converted. Repent and be converted. Look at this one now. That your sins. Oh God, King James, King James. Oh my God, King James. The word that there is pros. It means repent. That it be converted pros towards. It doesn't that. It's be repent. Repent and be converted to. That is, you look at a direction. P-R-O-S. Be converted towards. It's a sight. Towards the blotting out of your sins. Hallelujah. That is, it's time to see what has been done to your sins. Hallelujah. Look at it! Praise God. Remember Jesus said, repentance, which is the remission of sins, will be preached. So, he says repent. And be converted. Turn around and see that your sins have been blotted out. Hallelujah. The word blotted there was used by Paul in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwritings. Praise the Lord. Are you there? It's the word exelipho. Many of you know that. It means to take it out. To erase it. That is, Peter is saying, hey guys, you need to see this. Your sins have been blotted out. Glory to God. And they say, I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it. Oh, Christ died. He was buried. He's raised. I can see it. Glory to God. When that man sees it, he has believed. Hallelujah. So the repentance is what happens to your mind concerning the scriptures. Oh, glory to God. Repent. Turn towards this. Your sins have been blotted out. Glory to God. Sins being blotted out did not happen as Peter preached. It had happened before he preached. So the repentance was to see what had happened. Hallelujah. See it. So repentance is to make men see what Christ has done. So, repent. Towards your sins that have been blotted out. John says, this sins write I unto you, little children, that you sin not. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, not only our sins, but for the whole world. Paul says, to wit that God was in Christ. I call it the charter of the gospel. To wit that God was in Christ. If you remove this, there's nothing left. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now, what we hear reconcile? Reconcile in normal terms. You two people are fighting. Two fighting. Then you say, Shago, Bonley is here. Both of us go there and say, come now. Come now. Oh, you hug yourselves. As you're hugging, you're feeling, if I slap you. You know, you reconcile. Or reconcile means that you just went to meet someone and say, you know what, my guy, you're my guy now. Since primary school days, you know, my guy. No, the word reconcile there, you know, is a word that is stronger than that. Is a word from, you have the word catalage and catalasso. It's used for valuation. Pay attention now. That is, there are terms that the King James has used, it's fine, but they almost look like a warring party. No. What it means is this. For example, if there's a guy from the lower ladder of the society, and we say, what is his value? So the guy is worth 1,000 naira. You know what that is in real terms? 1,000 naira. With interest. And so then you have the man who probably will be the richest man. The guy has 60 billion US dollars. It's not a drop in the ocean. It's nothing in the ocean. That is, the 1,000 naira is not a drop in the mighty ocean. Is not near the ocean. The wind of the ocean will carry it away before it moves near the ocean. It's not a drop. It's not found in the ocean at all. And the man says, he belongs to this class. And the man says, you know what? That man is not 1,000 naira. What do you mean? That man is worth $80 billion. What do you mean? Then he takes his money. He gives it to the man. To reconcile. So the man's value has become the value of the reconciler. That's why he said, he reconciled us in his son. His son is his own valuation. He now gave his son to us. So we are now reconciled. So it's not about war. It's about relationship. A union. He reconciled us. Hallelujah. In his Son. So in Christ is that reconciliation. God and man are found in Christ. Reconciled. Are you still there? Are you still there? So, that's the charter of the gospel. So when we preach, we say, come and see, come and see, come and see this. What do I see? Jesus Christ has taken away your sins. That's repentance. When you repent to see what God has done. The action in repentance is God's action. It is God's action and your own sight. Repentance is for you to see what God has done. What has he done? He has blotted out your sins. Some guys don't, they say, let's play low forgiveness of sins. This thing is, if you remove forgiveness of sins, Jesus died accidentally. Is a cross accident. Not a car accident. It's a cross accident. But he didn't die accidentally. He was not a martyr. He didn't die for his beliefs. He didn't die because he was a rebel. He died to sort out justice once and for all. The very wrath of man's sin was taken upon Christ. Hallelujah. That is what he did. And then he rose from the dead to reconcile. Hallelujah. So in repentance, you see Christ. In repentance, you see Christ. Say, in repentance, I see Christ. In repentance, you see Christ. So let's do an home run now. Keep your eyes on the ball. Praise God. He says, repent. Because he had just given them a vital information. How the prophet has spoken about Christ being raised from the dead. So he says, you guys need to see this one. And be converted. Every one of you. To see that your sins have been erased. Then he says, when you see it, something now happens to you. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. It means it shall happen to you. That's important. When he uses the word refreshing, you know, refreshing for us is you are very thirsty and you say, take cold, chilled Coke. There's sometimes you take a very cold drink and you speak in tongues. You know, man of Safraka. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I was in the boarding house, cold things is like rapture. We expect it to come. Cold things. Very cold things. You expect them. Then when you go to the buttery during school hours, you get cold drinks. The cold, no, the one they put inside buckets and then there's ice block. They take it. You know, the ice from you. Because you had watched an advertisement. See, that's refreshment. That's not what he's talking about here. Praise the Lord. The word used in here means to put life back, to restore air. And I push this in the Greek. To restore air. It's the word, same word used for revival. You know, we used to ask for revival. Revivals again. And people are praying for revival. So we are praying for revival in our nation. Lord, revive thy people. Lovely prayer. I used to pray that way too. And we'll pray. In fact, my very first set of meetings that I organized, some of you know the year, we called it revival meetings. The scriptures I used was enough to ask for revival. Today, when I read those scriptures, even if someone is just quoting it, I laugh. I just start laughing. There was a guy reading it, he said, why are you laughing? I said,
Joel will cry. I said, repent, lament. Put on sackcloth and ashes. When we're done, one brother, Brother Emmanuel Odoko, he probably watched me 25 years ago. Now you know the time. He said, thank you, brother. I was revived. When he said that, I now frowned my face. Bless you. You know the point? As I was going, I was telling myself, that's right. Yes. The Spirit of God moved big time. Brother Emmanuel Odoko was revived. Revival is not for a believer. It's alive forevermore. Repent. Alright? Revival means... Now, someone said, well, what about if you say revival or some truths that have been forgotten? Maybe. But the Bible doesn't envisage that some truths will be forgotten. And so whenever people are preaching and you say, don't mind all these strange doctrines flying over the place, social media. Don't be afraid of social media. It's here to stay. Just ensure that you are preaching the word. Yes. Don't say, be careful for social media. The people you are telling you are using it. You just make sure your own media is word media. Hallelujah. So say the devil is attacking the church on social media. Abba. Abba. Because of tithes. That's not the devil. He's not the devil. Don't lie on the devil. The devil is not attacking tithes. In fact, he doesn't like the fact that tithes is attacked. It's the devil that is scared that tithes is attacked. Selah. Amen. I didn't know I was going to talk about that. What can we do to these things? Where were we? How did I get here? I need revival, right? Revival is not for a believer. No. 1,000,000 times, no. Revival is for that man who doesn't have the life of God. Ephesians 2:1, it says, you are still quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, who walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation time passed in the flesh, and by nature children of wrath, even as others. Then it says, God, who was rich in mercy, with the great love wherewith he has loved us, he had quickened us. If you say you are quickened us, maybe you'll have left it that way. Together with Christ. If he needs no revival, neither do I. We are quickened together. It's not a life you add to. It's a life that stays the way it is forever. Nothing alters it. Life as God has it. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, say no revival here. Take your revival elsewhere. No. Don't assault anybody. All right, come on. So he says, the times of refreshing will come, Acts 3, from the presence of the Lord. What presence, the word prospon, means from the appearance of the Lord. That is, from the resurrection of Christ comes the resurrection of man. The times of refreshing. The word times there. It's the word kairos. A moment. Moments. That is individually. Men and women. Can now have what happened to Jesus. That is what happened to Jesus. Can now happen. To every man. Who has turned his attention. To the gospel. What does that mean? That means coming with. The resurrection of Christ, coming with the forgiveness of sins, coming with the remission of sins, is the new birth. What is he saying? When you repent and turn your attention to the fact that Jesus Christ has blotted out your sins, as that happens, as you believe that fact, something happens to your nature. you are now born again. You are now born again. You are now revived. Life comes to you. Hallelujah. You are quickened with Christ. Now, you are now raised together with Christ. In other words, the gospel gives life. When a man believes the gospel, he receives life. Look at verse 21. I'm closing here. Verse 20, pardon me. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. That's a past tense word. 21. Whom the heavens must receive until the time. Oh my, why did he say that? Whom the heavens must receive for towards the times. Chronos. Chronos, that means in the order. The times of restitution. To put things back. We'll look at that tomorrow. To put things back where they ought to be. What things? The word there has nothing to do with physical things. It has to do with man. Man is the one that receives the blood and blood of sins. Man is the one that receives a refreshing, the revival, the resurrection of Christ. Man is the one. That man on the street, that man, you and I, as we have said yes to the gospel, what happens to us? As we said yes, that saying of yes to the gospel means I have believed that Jesus rose from the dead. As I have believed that, it means that I have received that my sins have been blotted out. As that happens, I receive life, eternal life. I receive life. I'm quickened with Christ. From the presence of the Lord, that is His resurrection, comes the new birth. I am born again. I am born again. So I have refreshing. I have refreshing. I have refreshing. What now happens from then, I begin to walk in it. I am revived eternally. I am alive unto God. Paul says, who has raised us up together and made us sit together in Christ in the heaven. That's where we are. And that's who we are. I pray in this convention that your mind is opened up to see the realities that are found in His resurrection. Your mind considers what is past, never in the present or never in the future. And your mind considers what is present as present. You begin to see the realities of the gospel that you have believed. You begin to walk in the light of it. What happens to men? As they believe this, they are revived. Let me quickly say this. That means the seeing faculties are back. The hearing faculties are back. The speaking faculties are back. The man begins to function in the spirit. He can say things by the spirit. He can see things by the spirit. He can hear things by the spirit. He can do things by the spirit. Because he has received the refreshing. He is alive now. Hallelujah. We no longer receive the Spirit. We have received the Spirit. But we now receive from the Spirit that we have received. I am the finished work of Christ. I am the finished work of Christ. He was raised and I was raised. Died because I was dead. He was buried because I was buried in sins. As he was raised up by the glory of the Father, I am raised together with him. So one, I enjoy his substitution. I enjoy his identification. Now I have his union. And I have it forever. Stand to your feet and give God praise. Bless his name. Lift those hands and honor him. Sing in the Holy Ghost. Bless his name.